Welcome to the Productivity Mastery Podcast, presented to you by myself, Stoyan Yankov, productivity and performance coach, keynote and TEDx speaker, and co-author of the Perform Methodology, and the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. Join me on a journey to discover what some of the world's leading professionals do to be more productive, create peak performing teams, and build successful global companies. New episodes weekly. And now, enjoy today's episode. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday for those of you who are watching us live. And good day to those of you who are not, who are watching the recording or listening to the recording. Before we begin this podcast, I would like to remind everybody, we are on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast platforms. So make sure to check out the podcast. If you like it, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on other platforms. It helps us to grow and help us to bring fantastic people like my guest today. And I'm super, super excited because today I'm welcoming one of the best in the world in his industry, the youngest GM, general manager at Kempinski Hotels history. He's a guy who's been awarded dozens and dozens of times for excellence in hospitality. He's just an inspiring leader. And it's not a surprise that people like the president of France, Macron, the president of the US, United States, Joe Biden, and his people are choosing his hotel and his team to serve them because this guy's a rock star. And you'll see in the next 60 minutes what I'm talking about. I'm so excited to learn leadership and to learn tips on peak performance. Good morning, Kai. How are you?
Stoyan, good morning. I appreciate the nice intro, nice words. I don't know about best GM, but still the youngest, it seems. So that title I still keep, but appreciate the flattering words and happy to share some thoughts with the audience.
So Kai, let's maybe start from there. You recently welcomed Joe Biden in the hotel. Can you tell us about it? Like how was the excitement in your team and what did you guys do to prepare and to leave the whole delegation of President Biden smiling and happy and satisfied? I saw some pictures. Seems like they had a really good time.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we had the privilege and pleasure of meeting and greeting and welcoming over 40 head of states in the hotel over the year. So a number of leaders, prime ministers, presidents, what have you. But having had the US president, arguably the most powerful person in the world, I'm not talking about politics, you know, you may or may not like the person, and that's not the matter, but the position itself is arguably the most powerful position in the world. And coming during the NATO summit, it's yet another level. I mean, normally there's already high security, but given our proximity to our neighbors, plus the fact that was many other head of states in Vilnius, and Vilnius being as small as it is, there's only so many places where they can stay. So you can imagine everybody was fighting to stay at obviously arguably the most prestigious place. And yeah, we were quite lucky to get him. And it was really, I mean, second to none experience. I mean, in terms of security, protocol, I mean, so many questions, even after almost 7 years of being here, I've never heard in my life before. I mean, you had the Secret Service, you know, searching every square inch of the property, as I said, asking us questions I've never heard about, and it was really an experience of a lifetime. But yeah, as you rightfully said, I mean, he left with a big smile. He said they traveled to a lot of properties. They arguably stayed in maybe more fancy and bigger properties, but he said the level of service and attention and hospitality, I mean, the delegation said, is something they really haven't come across at that level before, which was for me really the biggest compliment. And yeah, that's what we're all about, the team, right? The sort of software that brings the hotel to life.
How do you prepare a team for a visit like that? What do you guys do weeks or even months prior to such a visit to make sure that every single detail is taken care of?
Sure, especially given the fact that there is very limited information we're getting from their side because of the high security protocol. Normally, if you have some, you know, head of states, they send you all the requirements before what has to be done. But because of the nature of the, you know, high risk situation, we only knew most of the stuff a day before. So it was extremely, extremely last moment. But I think everybody was obviously well prepared for the visit in general. There was a buzz and excitement of having the president with us. We clearly, met, many months before with the different departments to make sure from our side we prep as much as possible, especially on the IT side. Usually during the summits, hotels get hacked, like for them even to be able to hack in and switch off electricity would be a big success. So we made sure we partner with different suppliers to, hack ourselves in a way to make sure where our vulnerabilities, to have etiquette training from outside people for our employees, how do we cater to, such high-level profile visitors. So really to try play different scenarios and mentally prepare ourselves. And then obviously, give the people before the event ample amount of rest. So when it comes to crunch time, those 5-6 days, people were not sleeping much. They didn't take a day off. They were here 24/7, literally. But they were excited and eager for it. And for me, it was so interesting when I came back after, we wished them farewell. I went back into the hotel and I saw long faces. I said, guys, what's happening, And people were visibly sad that he left because there was such a buzz in the whole city for them. Like myself, I came home, my wife said, wow, I've never seen you that excited for a long time. It was really, really amazing despite all the challenging. It was really, as I said, very sleep deprived nights. But the energy we got out of this and, having the success of them saying how great of a stay they had was so rewarding and fulfilling, and that kind of fueled us to rise up to the occasion.
Is there any just to wrap up the topic of President Biden, is there any specific, something surprising or something that you kind of observed about President Biden that's not so obvious for the public?
Sure. We all see the memes and the media, et cetera, of him, they always catch him at the wrong moment, I suppose. But I was quite surprised. Myself and the team were quite, surprised of his working regimen. He woke up, he left the hotel at 8 a.m. He came back at 8 p.m. He then took an hour and a half pictures with the U.S. embassy, our team, other peoples of the community. So went to his bedroom at 9:30. That's a 13 and a half hour work day. At, I believe he's 85 years of age. I take my hats off to him, really. You can say what you want, but in terms of work ethic, he really works hard. If I'm at that age and still work as such, I'd be a very happy man. And even when I met him in person, I was glad to take a picture with him. The charisma, when you look in his eyes, he shakes his hand, he cracked a little joke, I still remember. Really, it was a fantastic moment, and I definitely was quite impressed with his charisma that he has in a one-to-one meeting with a person.
Well, congratulations to you and your team for taking care of President Biden and for receiving this acknowledgement. And this is not an accident. I've been studying you. I know you now for 4 years. I think we got introduced through our common friend Katrina Kurt. Kudos for Katrina Kurt, who was also a guest on the podcast. Go check her out and her company, Linkedist. They're doing an amazing job. So we got introduced, and I've been following you, Kai. Every time we post something with you, because we do a podcast, we do a little video, we've been collaborating. You've been also a kind contributor to our first book. So there's an example on leadership that you contributed with in the book. I think you were talking about leading by example and how important it is to lead by example, giving some stories and examples from your work.
Sure.
And maybe we can start from there. What have you been doing so you get to such a place? And I'm not saying this lightly. I think you're one of the best in the world in your industry. And the reason I say that is every time we post something with you, there's hundreds and thousands of people that engage with this content. You have a lot of followers, people that look up to you, and that's not an accident. All the awards, all the acknowledgements, all these people following to you, me listening to you and seeing how you do things. What is your secret? What have you been doing in the past 15 years so you go to a place where you are today as a leader?
Well, Stern, I don't know if there's really a secret. It's always funny when these guys talk about a secret and then click my link here and buy my course and then I tell you all the secrets. I think it goes back to really just being very, straightforward, humble, but at the same time demanding. Sometimes people say humble means you just take a passive approach and lean back and let others do. I think humble in terms of communication and, you know, getting people to speak and hear, because most leaders these days, you know, they have their own vision and that's it, and they hear nothing about it. I think it's equally important, if not more important, to listen to your team, take on feedback, and just have a one-to-one conversation, you know, to break that hierarchy. Because in the past, when I started my career, I mean, the general manager was like the Sultan, you know, the excellency. It was like the, you know, people were scared. There was really leadership by fear, versus these days, this doesn't work anymore. You know, people are having so many options in other industries, what have you. So we need to be very close to them, listen to them. Often we may have a different opinion. You know, when we talk about the young generation, like many times I'm baffled by their choices, by their thoughts, and so are my peers. But then we have to ask ourselves, well, we may or may not, you know, agree with their way of living or their thoughts. But at the same time, that's the future work generation. So it behooves on us as leaders to adapt our mindset, because ultimately we need them more than they need us, right? Because if I don't have a team, you know, as you said, I can do the greatest job, however you define that. But if I have nobody to execute my vision and ideas, it won't work. So we need to get the team behind. And that goes back to, you know, simple, you know, time-proven principles, as you just mentioned, you know, leading by example. You know, if I ask my teams to be genuinely caring, hospitable, looking after the guests, and I walk through the lobby and there is, I don't know, some paper on the floor, and I just walk past it and the employees are around and see that, they say, well, so because he's the GM, he doesn't have to care. No, but if they see me picking it up and putting it in the trash can, they will over time, not by one time, it's not a one-time thing, you do something great, but by repetitive leading by example, they emulate it. Same as kids, you know, when they see their parents do something, most often they emulate their kids over time, right? Babies, I mean, they don't read leadership books, they just emulate what they see their parents doing. And I think the same is true for our employees. So if we as leader want to build a certain culture and our employees to deliver a certain, you know, service to our employee, to our guests, we need to first, you know, show the way ourselves. So I think that's super important. And you know, they mirror the energy we bring to them. If I have a Monday morning briefing, I come with the coffee stains on my shirt, the hair all over the place, and maybe last night I had too many drinks, so, you know, I look a bit tired. I come like this and say, guys, you know, I need more results, push harder. It's not going to go anywhere, right? Versus if I come in the morning, bring great energy, wish everybody good morning, how was your weekend, you know, excited, I like to exercise in the morning, so I bring my own energy to a high level, and then, you know, engage in a nice conversation, encourage them, you know, say, guys, a new week, last week your results were not good, it's a new week, how are we going to attack that, and inspire that, you know, ability of what we can do, rather than drill down only on the problems and the mistakes. I think that once again shows them, okay, you know, even if I make a mistake, it may happen, let's be honest, it happens in our hotel as well. But how do we come back from this and improve upon that and build a stronger culture? And they will then in turn bring that to their own teams, because I don't, you know, we have 100 employees. I don't speak to every single employee on a daily basis. But if my managers are aligned with my vision and we're all in the same boat, they then hopefully transpire the same to their teams. So that's kind of, you know, one part of the equation, I suppose.
So you say, fish smells from the head. What are you doing on a daily basis? What are your habits that keep you in this state? So you can show up at work and you can be positive, full of energy, and in your best optimal state.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, people always say what's most important in your life. So some people say career, family, and, you know, everybody has their own vision and thought about that. For me, it's really clearly my health, because if I'm not healthy, I cannot be there for my wife, for my family, for my friends, for my employees. So, you know, some people may say that sounds selfish, but in a way I have to be selfish, because if I'm not healthy, you know, I'm a burden to others. So I really take that serious, especially since the end of last year. I've been really, really committed to looking after myself. I've been very diligently exercising every day in the morning before the work. And the few days when I skip exercise, I don't feel as good. I come, you know, I already have two coffees before work. I'm a little bit tired. I actually regret that I didn't go to work. So the whole day I'm thinking and arguing with myself why I didn't go there. I feel more lethargic. So for me, you know, when you spend energy, you motion creates emotion, right? So if I exercise, get my body moving, I come up with the greatest idea in the gym when I'm on the run. So I usually on the run, I speak to Siri to make my notes on the reminder app. So I can refer back to them later on, because that's when I come usually with my best ideas. And then I can bring that, once again, energy to my team and fuel them. As I said, you know, if I bring, very low energy, that rubs off on them as well. But if I hype them up, get them excited, make them laugh, get them encouraged, that will transpire down to them as well. So that's definitely one, but there are so many facets about health we can speak a whole episode about. But obviously, you know, ultimately, once again, there's also no secret. You know, people spend, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars on buying a course, on buying supplements, what have you. I mean, ultimately, it's good sleep, good food, and exercise. I mean, that's really the basics. That can be extremely simple. You don't need
it is the basic. It is the basic, guy. It is the basic. But what is not the basic is, and that's what I want you to maybe speak about. Maybe for you, you take it for granted.
Sure.
How do you stay consistent? How do you have the discipline to show up when you don't feel like showing up? Where is this drive coming from?
It is tough. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. At times, especially now in summer, it's very easy to go for a morning run. You know, the sun is shining. I run by the river. Lovely, you know, no problem. But now it's getting actually cold out there. 2 days ago, I was by the river. It was dark. Even when I finished my run, it was still dark outside. It was 1 degree. So it's not pleasant. It's not very Instagrammable, but it's got to be done. So some things in life just got to be done. And I really tell myself, I prime myself actually the evening before. And it's not that every day I visualize, you know, playing with my grandchildren when I'm 90. That's always the story that people say, you know. But at the same time, yes, I every so often remind myself of, you know, when I see leaders like, Warren Buffett, even Joe Biden. Again, I'm not talking about politics, but I'm talking about the fact that he's 85 years old and still running, you know, the entire country. For me, that's so inspiring. My goal is to be 120 years old. And I certainly won't get there by drinking 3 beers at night and not exercising. So I know I need to invest in myself, same how I invest into my career, into my growing my mindset, and into my investment portfolio. I also need to invest and compound my health over time. And I can see that already, how over 1 year, how I went, you know, by losing almost 14 kilograms, how I run faster, how I'm more energized, less tired, how that really shows results. So the same is true in anything in your life. And at the same time, one more point, I also listen, I feed my mind with like-minded people. So when you say it comes to you naturally, that's a good point. You know, if every day I was watching, different things, I would have different thoughts also. But we all spend anyways too much time on our phones. So I make very conscious decision to the people I follow, business leaders, inspiring people, health focused people. So when I open my TikTok or Instagram, I see the guy giving running advice. So when I see that, I said, oof, okay, maybe I can integrate that into my life, how I can get better. The same with on the business side, you know, how can I become a better leader? Listen to your podcast rather than a Kim Kardashian update on her life drama. So it's a conscious choice we make. That's something you have to make for yourself. But once you start feeding your mind with those kind of input, you start having different thoughts and center around this rather than something else that maybe takes you off your path. So that really helps me to stay disciplined, I would say.
I love it, man. And when I said, what's your secret? I actually wanted you to get to this answer, because people think there's people like you or me or somebody else, they have the secret that will change your life in 5 steps. And it's like, well, no, it's you put on the hat of, I want to be a better version of myself every day. I want to show up as the best I can be, which means I need to do the work. And it's when you said it's not Instagrammable, I think it's the most Instagrammable to post a picture of rainy weather and you feeling tired, like, because we don't see that stuff, you know? That's what the real success comes from, right? To do the work when you don't, and it comes with organization. This podcast is called Productivity Mastery. It's about prioritizing these kind of things,
definitely
making them non-negotiable. And this would be my question. What are your non-negotiables when it comes to your health, and not just health, but also, you know, your growth as a person, your personal growth? What are your non-negotiables?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely some kind of health-related aspect. So even if there's days that I don't exercise, I make sure. In the past, I would then, if I don't exercise, I said, anyways, it's a wasted day. I might as well eat a pizza, a burger, and have some drinks. So you kind of go down the self-pity road and just say, okay, let's write this day off. So I make sure if I skip a day of exercise, I particularly eat at least clean, nice, good food and get some rest to offset the thing. Because, you know, I'm still advocate of finding a balanced lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to work out 7 days a week. I think that's a little bit extreme. You know, you have to find what works for you. But definitely, once again, looking after my health and sleep. Like if I have a lack of sleep, for me, it's worse than working with a hangover. Like literally. So I know now myself so well. I track my sleep. I'm quite, you know, I think it's getting more and more popular in recent times for obvious reasons. I think we have such a sleep deprivation problem in the world where people spend way too much time in the middle of the night still scrolling around Netflix, binging until the middle of the night. And then they say, well, I'm not a morning person, Kai. Well, guess what? I'm also not a morning person. If I binge watch Netflix until 2 a.m., I wouldn't be able to wake up at 6 a.m. as I do every morning to go to work out at 6:30. But if I put any electronic devices away by 9 p.m., which we normally do latest, then, you know, we kind of talk a little bit with my wife, we go up to the bed, and then the last 15, 20, 30 minutes, get the Kindle out, read a little bit, and naturally you get tired, and then latest by 10:30, I usually want to sleep. So for me, that's kind of, if you would say, non-negotiable. Another few things I do every single day is, we just spoke about it before, is having a cold shower in the morning. That's definitely, I don't know, it just became second nature. Like if I don't finish on the cold, it's like something is missing, you know? And after that, you won't need the coffee for a while because your body is so energized and once again, increases your energy level very much. And in that moment of the cold shower, I always think of three things that I'm grateful for. I've done that now, I think, I don't know, for over 10 years. I read that a long time ago in a book somewhere, some self-development book. And I kept that, like, it's like second nature. I don't even think about this anymore. It gets increasingly harder to think of different things you're grateful for because my goal is to kind of not always say the same things. You know, I'm grateful that I'm healthy. If I say that every day, it becomes a little bit meaningless. So I force myself to find different things and really small things even. But that's something that, once again, instills that gratefulness. I'm by nature always want more. That's something in me. I always want to be better and more. I'm quite competitive by nature. But at the same time, sometimes we need to sit back and appreciate what we already have. So these are some of the things, I guess.
I love it, man. And thank you for sharing. Talking about the cold shower, I told you I saw one of your stories. By the way, everybody needs to follow this man's Instagram. Because... he's not so consistent, but once now he posts all of, you know, I was in the gym, I'm doing this. And he posted once, maybe a month ago, that he's doing these coach hours every day. I'm like, I don't have an excuse not to finish for 30 or 60 seconds with a coach hour. And I've been doing it every single day. Awesome. I've been now I'm in Estonia in a hotel. Yesterday I was in Baku. 5 days ago I was in Bilbao in Spain. I changed 4 hotels maybe. So amazing. Like trying to figure out the shower and everything. But it's like, okay. I do the maximum cold that the shower in this hotel can allow me to do for the past 30, 60 seconds. And again, I'm also thinking, I don't like to do it.
Nobody likes, exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah, it's not comfortable, but the more you do, kind of say, if I can do this, whatever difficult meeting I have, it will be already much easier, you know? So definitely.
That's it, man. That's it. But you know, as you said, you're thinking about gratitude. I'm thinking about how healthy I'm going to be and the goals I'm going to achieve. Like, I'm not thinking about how bad I feel from the, you know, from the cold, you know? So thanks for inspiration, Kai. Talking about you, right? Your performance habits. I know you spent quite a bit of time on developing yourself and you mentioned a few times, you know, podcasts, books, but how do you structure this time? Because again, you have your wife, you have a dog, you have a lot of work. You know, you're a general manager, you have many different things to do. You're working on your health and your habits.
Sure.
How do you prioritize personal development? And can you tell us, like, exactly, do you say, I don't know, I'm going to read business book for 15 minutes and I'm going to listen to this podcast and you have a strategy and spreadsheet? Or how do you go about it?
It's a good point because, I mean, obviously, we're all victim of being under constant task switching, right? I mean, I think that's just the reality we live in these days. You know, back in the day, you had one task and there was no distraction, no phones, no iPads and what have you. So it's getting increasingly more difficult. But for example, right now we're having a call. I put my devices into focus mode, so I won't have any notifications coming up because I don't want to be sitting here talking to you and see some pop-up, you know, urgent, we need to speak. That might be the case, but right now the most important thing is delivering value to you and our viewers. So whatever happens afterwards, I deal with it at the time. Because if you're constantly in a reactive mode, you're always chasing something, you're running after other people's agenda. And as a leader, I think we need to set our own agenda and follow that. Now, clearly, if there's a super important request that the guest is upset and he wants to speak with me, obviously, I may have to leave my budget planning, which we're in the process in right now, alone and speak with the person. That's clear. So that's why I'm saying we naturally have already so many different influxes of attention grabbing time from us. So we need to be very conscious. And I really try to sort of time block my day. As I said, I don't even think about my exercise anymore. That's taken care of in the morning. That's the best thing I always say, because in the evening, you never know how the day unfolds. There might be so many different things. There might be invitations to friends. There might be different things. So the evening for me is very difficult to exercise because you don't know what the evening is. But the morning, I know most people will still be sleeping by 6, 6:30. So I can have that time for myself. Then obviously I come to work, do all the things I have to do over there. In between that, in the morning when I do my exercise, when I shave, in the shower, that's the time when I do my self-development. I listen to amazing podcasts, YouTube interviews, and people say, I don't have the time for that. And I would like to argue, because actually it starts adding up. You know, I mean, just shaving myself, showering, putting my hair, that's like 15, 20, 25 minutes. You can listen to one great episode and learn at least one golden nugget of insights that you can take for yourself. You know, you don't have to, you know, people think they have to read an entire leadership book a week. That's not the whole point. It's not about the quantity, but, you know, taking even one point out of this whole conversation we have and implement it for your life. You know, it's not that I sometimes have the feeling that people just listen to inspiration, motivation, leadership development, and they think by having attended that or listened to a 2-hour podcast, wow, now I've done so much for myself. Not at all. Like that's just nice listening to, but if you don't take action from it, it's just wasted time, to be fair. You know, it's just, you could have equally listened to music. There's no difference. So if you don't take action, so for myself, when I listen to these podcasts, as I said, in the car drive, even driving here, it's a 5-minute car drive. But instead of listening to music, I continue to listen to the same podcast usually. And then after that, before I come to the hotel, I write down one thing that I've learned and something I would like to incorporate. Ideally in the day, it might be in the week or in the month, but something I could use for myself to not just let it go to waste. So this would be something I do. In addition, as I mentioned before, in the evening, I read my Kindles. That's usually a business and self-development books. Sometimes I struggle a little bit with this because your mind actually races quite a lot. So, you know, when you're just about to go to sleep and you really get some golden nuggets, and then I put the phone down and then I'm like sleeping. And then I come up with an idea. I kind of put it on my Apple Watch in my notes to write it down. And, you know, maybe it's not ideal, but it still works for me. And I'm happy with that.
Here's my thing from this podcast so far. Write one note every time you listen to a podcast or read the book for 15 minutes. Yep. This would be my one thing that I will start doing. So thank you so much, Kai. This is such a great thing, because I don't think I do that. I think I'm just like you. I use every possible time. I went for a run this morning. So I would listen to podcasts or audiobooks, right? I'm on a plane. I have a short flight. Okay, let's get the book and let's read for 30 minutes, right? So I try to do these things. But I haven't thought about the fact you can actually write that, like, this is the one thing I'm taking and I'm going to implement and exactly. Write it down.
And the great thing is, I mean, sorry for all the Android users listening, but in Apple, I don't know about Android, but in Apple, it's very good. Even with podcasts, you can, when you share the podcast, you know, when you click on share, you can share to notes, and it even has the timestamp. So if I listen to something interesting and I share it to the notes, it is with the timestamp. So I can go back 3 months later, click on that, and I hear the same episode again and refer back to my thoughts that I made for myself. So that's how you put the things together, you know, because otherwise where did I listen to that? And that way I can literally just search on my computer and it pulls it up right away, and I can refer back to it, which is so powerful.
Excellent. So just to wrap up also with the topic about your personal development, can you give me a few podcasts that you've been listening to most in the past, let's say 12 months, and to give me maybe up to three books, that the first three books that comes to mind for the past 12 to 24 months that you read that were very inspiring to you from a leadership perspective?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, right now, I recently shifted a little bit because I like to also educate myself. Not, you know, if you keep on reading about the same topic, after a while, you get similar ideas, right? Let's be honest, if there's only so much you can talk about leadership. So I also try to myself as a leader to look beyond my industry and look a little bit outside. So I'm quite multi passionate, let's say, and have different things. But yeah, I can share some of them with you. One of them is Alex Hormozi, who is probably one of the new kid on the block in terms of all things marketing. I mean, the way he does marketing is just mind-boggling. He talks about, you know, how to create your offer, how to have a sales pipeline. And it's something I think, you know, it's quite outside of hospitality, but still so many things that we can apply to ourselves. How to build a sales funnel, you know, how to do affiliate marketing is something we never spoke about in hospitality, and something I think is a huge market opportunity, how we can do a better job of using that, you know, working with influencers, for example. I mean, we do such a lousy job. We usually give free nights and then they post some nice pictures and they stay somewhere. But the question is, what happens with the content? You know, is it delivering results? Can we have a, you know, optimization campaign with them? Can they have a direct link where we can track their performance? If it's good, let's keep on working with them. If they're bad, let's choose another one. You know, so in many ways, we're often so much behind the curve. So I even like to listen to how to run Facebook ad campaigns to just see how we can optimize that for ourselves, because we're running campaigns. How can we get better at that? Another great podcast is The Diary of the COO. With Stephen Bartlett. I think probably everybody knows it by now. I think it's probably one of the most listened podcasts worldwide these days. I mean, it's just unbelievable the level of guests he brings on there. And once again, what I appreciate, it's from all walks of life. He interviews health people, he interviews successful people, business people, employees in successful companies. So it's really, you get a whole different variety of people that I may not myself get to spend time with because they're sort of a whole different league. But that way, I basically for free can listen to them. And that still sometimes baffles me, that people complain why they don't get more out of their life, why they don't get further in their career, while we have all access to them in our pockets free of charge. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The same with AI. We can talk about this in a second. I think that's a whole different topic. I think there's so much potential that it offers, literally free of charge, and still people are laughing at it and just saying how dangerous it could be, rather than actually using it for themselves. But yeah, that's, as I said, a whole different topic. I have a number of podcasts I listen to about investing. I'm very passionate about investing as well. Health, I think there's a fantastic gentleman called Huberman, the Huberman Lab. It's just an amazing guy, very scientific, a Harvard professor, because, you know, again, these days, everybody seems to be a health expert, but I like to be very, very picky in the people I listen to feedback about, and he's definitely one of them. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, maybe I'll share later and in the comments some of them, but definitely a number of really good podcasts. And as I said, I like to have different perspectives. At the same time, one of my biggest hobbies is F1. I watch every race, and I even listen sometimes to F1 podcasts where they interview the team leaders, the team principals, because once again, it's a completely different industry. But how they manage the teams, how they optimize for 1/10 of a second, how much thought process goes into this, reminds me in many ways how we can optimize our guest process. You know, the level of detail and attention, for me, is really inspiring to hear and take some of it that I can apply to my own life and job, obviously.
And this is such a good way to get into what I want to talk about to you now, which is managing your team effectively and providing this experience. And as you said, like many of the listeners of the podcast, probably 50% or more of startup founders, people sure. Working in startups, right? There's business leaders, there's HRs, there's students, but there's many startup founders. So you might be a startup founder running a tech company. Doesn't mean you cannot learn from Kai and what these guys are doing to build a culture in the organization to serve their customers. You can get some ideas adapt it and apply it to your own industry with your own clients. Yeah. So I'm curious to learn, Kai. Let's start from the basics. Imagine you just landed a job as a GM. You enter a new hotel chain, right? Yeah. You haven't worked before. You don't know anybody. Where do you start when it comes to creating the fundamentals of the team culture?
I mean, very simple. You got to earn that trust and get them behind you. I mean, it's such a cliche saying, but it all comes back to that, right? Because let's be honest, we all, when we have a new person joining the team or a new boss, we think, who's this guy? How he's going to be? So you have a lot of doubts at first. Nobody says, oh, a new guy, I'm sure he's going to be amazing. Most people have doubts and uncertainty and am I going to keep my job? Is the person nice or not? So it's not about being necessarily nice, but once again, being close to the team and being very open, transparent in the beginning, you definitely need to listen more. You joining, you're new team member to that team, and I want to hear their pain points. What's going on? What are their concerns? And how can I be of value to them? If they see me, helping them achieve their goals rather than just hammering down on their already existing issues, I lost them already, right? But from the beginning, if they see me taking a keen interest in them and helping them to do what they should be doing, already they're going to be behind me. Now, if in the process I'm being a nice personality, have a little joke here and there, and really, really, as I said, this kind of low hierarchy. Just the other day, I spoke to somebody who said, who works in a fantastic company. I don't want to mention the company, but amazing team. But he said, my boss thinks he lives in another planet, like his ego doesn't fit through the front door, and we all know leaders like that, who think they are God's greatest gift to mankind. But I don't think anyone finds that particularly inspiring. When I see people like who really made it, you could say again, the Zuckerbergs and Musks and what have you of the world, who really, made arguably amazing companies. And they are still humble, most of them, in some way. When you see Zuckerberg speak in a gray shirt, I mean, they're very relatable, If you come with your Bentley to work, you throw your key to the guy to park it, and then you kind of tell them how they should be working, you lose a lot of people. So I think especially in hospitality, but startup especially, you may be the founder, but if you have this cockiness or arrogance about you, you lost the people. So I think that's super key. And once you start building that trust and relationship, you then obviously need to push them. We're here for a reason. We have, especially once you're young and you start to build your business or career, you need to deliver results. I mean, either the investor or the owner of the business, they expect results. And that's what we're here for. We're not running a charity. So you need to push them sometimes. But I think you're much more likely to work hard and deliver and want to impress your superior and your boss if you feel the appreciation and the support rather than purely, being hammered down every single day. So I think that's really key to getting your team to perform at the highest level. You're muted right now, Stoyan.
That's absolutely correct. I haven't heard that since like maybe 2 years ago, which was the most, what did they call the most repeated term during the pandemic time. So you're muted. So what I was trying to say, when you this kind of culture, this kind of drive is usually created by developing organizational habits. So it's not like you do something once, right? These are kind of practices and habits and strategies. And I wonder if you would be up for sharing some of the practices that contribute to creating a culture where people are delivering results, but they're also taking care of as humans.
Yeah, once again, I don't know if I have the perfect answer for that, but I think it comes back to, for example, simple things like we have a monthly town hall meeting where we invite all the employees and we share all the updates openly. And in the beginning, I was a little bit hesitant to share even the numbers, the revenue, the profits, because, our city is quite small. The industry is quite small. I mean, I can easily take a picture of that and show to the other hotels, see how much money we made or how little. And we're thinking, should we actually do that? Does the waiter or the stewarding lady need to know how much money we made? And I decided to, yes, I think it's important. Even if that leaks somewhere, ultimately it's reality. And I want our people to understand if we deliver great results and do well, how that translates into money, while at the same time, if we're having a bad month, what it also means. So I want them to think in a way like entrepreneurs, to take ownership, because otherwise, if they just work for a salary, you know, how can I expect them to take ownership if they just come, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, they clock in, clock out, get a salary and go home. Doesn't matter if it's a good month, a bad month, there's nothing to work harder for, right? But if you take them along the journey and get that entrepreneurial mindset, and one of our values in Kempinski is actually entrepreneurial performance, sort of to have that mindset. And I really like to encourage intrapreneurs, you know, so kind of entrepreneurs within an organization to really take ownership, start a little project by yourself and then present it to the head of departments, to myself, and ideally we can implement it. And we had a lot of successful projects in the past that have been started by even interns or management trainees who really came up with a great idea, worked on it, and we implemented it. And for me, that's really nice to see. And that shows that people take ownership. And that way, when they see something, they act on it. Because otherwise, you're just passively cruising by, whatever, you know, like there's paper on the floor. Why would I pick it up? It doesn't really change my salary. Why would I care? But if you make them feel part of the process and yeah, as I said, take ownership, definitely it lifts up everybody. And I'm very, as I said, competitive by nature. So I like to show, you know, the tables in terms of quality, how we as a hotel compare to all the other Kempinskis in the company. And anything lower than first is always something I'm a little bit upset. So we constantly, you know, how can we push the envelope? How can we go on top? And I think that's motivating for people because they see, wow, you know, I want to be working the best hotel in the company that with the highest quality. The same with results, right? We see the results of the competitors. I don't want to be at the bottom of this. You know, I take pride in delivering excellent performance. The same with, as you said, exercising. You know, I don't just mindlessly run away. I meticulously track and time all my runs now, and I compare myself to others. And every time I want to run better and faster, and the same in business. So I think having that competitive drive, somebody you want to strive for, it should be healthy levels. You know, some people get overly obsessed with that. And if they're behind, you know, the whole world collapses. And that's not the story of it. But I think pushing yourself a little bit and have a goal to work towards can definitely be motivating.
So what I'm hearing is you consistently reminding your team, your people, how their contribution contributes to the overall success.
Correct. Correct. And moreover, the fact that, you know, while I'm very proud to stand there in the meeting and, you know, we had the President Biden, we were awarded once again the best hotel in Lithuania. So all these nice awards, they're all great and, you know, they're good for the ego and nice to put on LinkedIn. That's all great and well. But ultimately, again, as I said, you know, our industry doesn't have a finish line. It's not like we like a SaaS business or startup that scales up to 20 million and then has an exit sale or goes IPO and then you can lean back, cash out and say, wow, I'm done. Our business doesn't have a finish line, right? Excellence is every day measured. So the guy coming to the hotel today while we speak, maybe he's having breakfast and, you know, the eggs are overcooked and the orange juice is not fresh. He will say, what is this hotel? Like, he will never come back. He will leave a bad review on TripAdvisor and say, this is a bad hotel. And that will reflect on me and the team. So I want to make sure they understand that we need to prove ourselves every single day. And I think that's tough, you know, but at the same time, it keeps us hungry because a lot of big companies, you see over time, they're really good, lean and efficient when they start up. But over the years, they get bloated, they lose their drive. And then, you know, it starts the downfall. Like we've seen so many big companies in the past, and I want to keep that hunger in the team to get them, you know, that's why I think it's so good to benchmark ourselves to make sure we're still at the top, because otherwise you take the foot off the pedal and you kind of start slowing down, you start cruising and you take things for granted. And that's the beginning of the end.
So I listened to another podcast that you've been a guest at, and the person who was interviewing you, she actually visited the hotel. And she was really impressed, first of all, something that I was impressed by because I visited you a couple of times, but she was impressed how positive and inspired is everybody. They actually love their job. At least they look like they love their job, right? So, and she was impressed that she needed something. She lost her luggage at the airport or something. So she needed I don't know, to buy some clothes or something. And somebody from the hotel, I'm not sure if that was you, but somebody from the hotel came with her and spent like 20 minutes to go with her and to show her to the shop. And she was like, wow, you know, like, who does that? Yeah. And my question is, first of all, how do we inspire this kind of mindset? I think this is not just for the hospitality industry. I think if I have a team, if everybody who's listening, startups are having a team where every employee is empowered to do the extra step. But how do we get there? And as a side sub question, do you have any other examples that you can share? Because people relate to practical examples.
Definitely. That wasn't me doing that. That was one of our employees. And yeah, that was a good story. But these stories happen all the time. So I think three things very simply. One is the people we hire. I still hire every single and interview every single candidate myself. So does our HR manager and the head of department. And honestly, I can't remember the last time I looked at the CV. I literally don't care about the CV anymore. I mean, we're not hiring for heart surgeons or developers. That's a different story. But if you work in hospitality, I really don't care where you worked in the past. I want to see you, your personality, your charisma, and your level of care. And you can see that within a matter of minutes of, you know, how genuine somebody is. You know, you can't fake sincerity and hospitality. So you have it or you're not. And we kind of try to amplify that. Once we found somebody who is capable of delivering that, we amplified it further by training them and honing their skills, etc. But if you genuinely don't care about other people and are not hospitable, nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can find plenty of other jobs, but probably not going to be in hotels, specifically in our hotel. So already the people we bring on board are primed to have that kind of mindset of, you know, helping others, etc. Secondly, is that we have various policies and sort of a culture built around empowerment, so that at that level, for example, if the person forgot something or need to be rushed to the airport, they can't get a taxi, they don't need to ask me to take the hotel shuttle to drive them. They can just do that because they know that this is something we encourage. So we obviously made that, you know, we wrote it in policies, but at the same time also we tell these examples that people understand what they can do. So that is important because a lot of companies, they always need, let me talk to my manager first. Like, no, you don't have the time to speak to your manager. Drive me right now so I get there in time. So these things is definitely important that you believe in your people, you empower them. Myself as well as a leader, I'm definitely not a micromanager. I'm very much a macro manager. I kind of outline what needs to be done, set the KPIs, and then off you go, make it happen. You know, there's no point of me telling the chef how to cook. I'm the lousy chef. He is much better at cooking than I will ever be. So why would I tell them what he should be cooking, right? So empower them and give them the sort of free white canvas to write on and do these kind of stories. And lastly, again, as I just alluded to, is tell the stories. Because as you said yourself, you know, what kind of stories, if I don't tell them and share them, others wouldn't know about it. So as part of our monthly town hall meetings, we obviously always choose a hotelier of the month. So one employee that really stood out, but not because he or she worked very hard or she always comes on time or stays longer. I mean, that's nice, but that's not really inspiring, right? I mean, if you paid for 8 hours and you work 12 hours, so 4 hours for free, you know, it's nice, but it's not something where I say, wow, that's like amazing. But more importantly, some of those stories. And honestly, there's a lot of them. I don't remember all of them, but definitely things like, you know, if somebody, I remember somebody fell sick and had to go to the hospital. So our team by themselves decided to cook up, because let's be honest, most hospital food is pretty lousy. They still had a few more days booked with us in the hotel. We canceled, of course, the stay free of charge. And from our side, and because it was a regular guest, we even brought the food from Kempinski every day to the hotel. And I mean, we won a guest for life, basically. She was so delighted and thankful. So these are the small things. Again, I didn't even come up with this. It's not that I said, guys, I have an amazing day, we should do this. I mean, they literally came up with this and the story came to me. They didn't even ask me. So for me, that makes me so happy. And it's amazing. And we need to tell these stories more and more that others get inspired.
Man, it's just, I'm getting goosebumps and it's so much cooler that it's not coming from you, right? Exactly. Because you might be the caring leader that's so committed, but when you see your people just showing up, being amazing human beings and just doing it from the heart. And of course, it's good for business. Of course, it's good for the team motivation. But this just comes from inside. And sure. That's why I'm asking you not to tell me you got to run the extra mile, but to tell me what you guys did to run the extra mile, because that might inspire our listeners now to go and do something extraordinary for their clients, for their partners, for their employees.
100%.
So if you have any other stories like that, you know, you're more than welcome to you know, give me one more, man. Give me one more, and then we can wrap it up with that topic.
Yeah, I mean, what else? Wow, there's a lot of the stories, but I don't know. Like we had some guests from Asia recently who obviously, you know, they have specific food requirements that we don't usually serve. I mean, we mostly have Western guests with us, but you know, a couple of Asians here and there. But they stayed quite a while with us, and then we realized they didn't really eat much for breakfast. So then one of the chefs decided to start researching some of the Asian dishes, particularly from their country, India, and started serving up some Indian breakfast touches. So it was never asked for. It was never something that we advertise anywhere and nothing we ever have on the buffet. But why not? You know, it put a huge smile on the face. And once again, that person came to myself even thinking like, how great is that? And we just definitely won a client for life for the company and truly delighted. So again, something to go the extra mile and think of things, how you can delight your customers, not just compete by price. And again, it goes back to our startup founders and so on, but how can you be different and set yourself apart? And that doesn't cost much, you know, just to make a little effort. It really doesn't. I didn't hire a chef, an Asian chef, purposely for that guest. That wouldn't make financial sense, but we already used the resources we have and just came up with a little something extra, which went a long, long way. And the guest really, really loved it.
And tell me honestly, wasn't that what gives you the biggest kicks?
Definitely. I mean, that's that. And I wanted to say even more so whenever I have the chance, it doesn't happen often, but when I do travel, let's say for 2 weeks on holiday, and you know, obviously I still check in remotely, see the results and so on, and I see sometimes revenues going higher, quality going up, I should feel bad because, you know, I'm not there. How can the quality go up? But actually it makes me so happy. It means that the team is working without me just as fine. And that, I think, is the real testimony of true leadership, that the ship is, you know, continuing the same direction even without you on board. So that would be also my biggest dream if one day I'm no longer here, that still there is that culture ingrained in the people, that it still sort of has the same touch and direction and DNA with or without me. That would be the ultimate achievement for me.
I love it, man. So final topic I want to cover, as you know, me and my co-author Cristobal Alonso, who you know very well as well, the CEO of Startup Wise Guys, the so-called El Patron, so we're writing a book now, our second book, Perform in Times of Crisis, which is compiling a lot of leadership lessons on how do we prepare best and how do we lead in times of crisis. And I wonder if you can share some ideas and examples and stories, because, I mean, let's be honest, hospitality industry, some people probably forgot already that we were in a pandemic. Yeah. Everybody was locked at home, 2020. And I can only imagine how difficult it is for the hotel chains and everybody somehow related to the travel industry, hospitality. So I wonder, there's two topics that I'm interested. The first part is, how do you mentally cope with it, you personally, but also to keep inspiring and motivating your team from a mental perspective? So maybe let's cover this one first. And then the second part, and I'll ask you after, but it's going to be about how do we innovate and spot opportunities. But let's talk about first, how do you mentally stay sane and lead your team in times of crisis?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I mean, obviously, especially, we were hit badly, obviously, a few years ago when everything was shut down. Travel came to a literal halt. So there was nothing happening. I remember sitting all alone in an empty lobby. The hotel was closed for a few weeks. It was sad, I must say. I didn't exactly inspire positivity those few days. It was tough for everyone. But eventually, I thought to myself, well, I can either drown in self-pity now, or I can do something about it. And then I went back to my usual habits of exercising and start building up my own positive mindset. Because again, as you said, fish smells from the head. If I'm negative and depressed, and sit around the table with my team, that rubs off on them. So I fought hard to get myself into a better space. And I really thought about that a long time. And also, let's be honest, there's going to be future crisis. Crisis is part of life. Life is up and down. There's not only rainbows and butterflies. That's part. And I think to some extent, maybe also good, because a lot of good ideas and new companies were born during difficult times. So I think that's part of life. So ultimately, it comes down to what we ourselves can control, because I cannot control so many things, you know, like at the time of shutdown, I cannot control the regulations of my country, the regulations of the other countries where our guests came from, how many boosters you need or what. These things, you know, we just follow whatever we are being told, and that's fine. But what we can do is obviously stay positive, start coming up with ideas. We'll speak about this in a second, what we did. And we came up with great ideas. We were really brainstorming around the table, and we came up with such a brilliant idea we never thought about, which actually made so much money for us. So that was great. So really focus on the things that you can literally control yourself, because there's way too many things that are beyond your control. And if you scratch your head all day around this and only read the news of how bad the world is, that's another big point I really started implementing since this year, to significantly reduce the amount of news I read. Every time, I never felt better after reading the news. I don't know about you, but every time I read the news, I feel down. And I didn't catch it for a while, but now really significantly reducing it, my thoughts are much different. So once again, it goes back to the energy. So yeah, control on what you can control and inspire positivity. And then you see every crisis as an opportunity.
So was it like you guys come together and you kind of, hey guys, let's jump on a call, let's just talk about what opportunities can we spot in this, like give me the specifics, like, because I think specifics is what inspires people.
Definitely, yeah. So we went all through different it was really an open whiteboard. We had little breakout sessions online. We said, you know, everybody, you know, thinks about different things, and then we come together on the Google Meet, and everybody pitches one idea of what we could do, and a lot of, you know, let's be honest, rubbish ideas. That's normal. I also had a lot of rubbish ideas, but that's the whole point. Just get your thoughts out there. There's no rubbish idea when you have nowhere else to go. Any idea is something worth talking about. And eventually, one of those ideas was, you know, why not turn our rooms into restaurants? So that was probably one of the greatest ideas we've done. We removed all the furniture from all the rooms, and all individual rooms became individual restaurants, which allowed us to operate our restaurants, so to say, while all other restaurants in the city were closed. So that was such a great move. We had, I don't know, so many proposals during that time in the rooms, and so many amazing stories, and people even now asking us, can you do this again? Well, you know, we still prefer selling it as guest rooms, but it was really a big success. And this came out of one of those whiteboard jamming sessions we had where somebody proposed it, and we went with it. So yeah, I mean, I think that's super important. And get your team on board. Once again, it doesn't mean that you're the leader and you have to offer all the answers. You know, people asked me recently, what's your business continuity plan? And, you know, I said, I mean, yes, obviously certain things you might need to have in place, you know, emergency contacts and so on. You need to have, you know, that I get it. But at the same time, I see some people over obsessing about this and trying to plan for every possible scenario. And this, it just doesn't work. Like, there's so many things that we don't even know will happen. And then you just have to deal with it. But if you adopt the mindset of, you know, taking crisis and or problems in a positive way, you naturally find the opportunity rather than spending the next 3 months writing down every possible scenario. And then when it happens anyways, you're still going to be shocked, right? So you want to prime yourself to be ready for it and then deal with it as it comes.
I love it, man. Just to understand the actual outcome of this specific strategy with the one table in each room, like what do you think were, I mean, I can imagine that bring a little bit of revenue, right, to support you guys in these difficult times, or maybe more. But what else did you see? Like if you can make a quick mental list of all those things, like, did that give more inspiration to the team? Did that inspire a lot of social media sharing? Like, what were the actual outcomes from this implementation of this strategy?
Of that particular idea, I mean, it was huge. I mean, it literally kept us afloat financially, because, yeah, we didn't have any incomings at all. Like, we couldn't accommodate guests. So it was our only bloodline, so to say. It was obviously less than we would normally make, but we also had to reduce the team. We got leaner. So that was enough to sustain operations. So that alone was crucial for the continuation of our business. On top of that, as I said, yeah, social media, everybody was raving about. You couldn't go anywhere else. So anyone who could come to us was making stories, because how else you would make content? So we're one of the few places you could actually go out and enjoy yourselves. As I said, we had a lot of proposals, because you know, where else are you going to propose when everything is locked down? So that was interesting as well. So we've done something for the Lithuanian population, so to say. But it was huge. And we had also other ideas that came out of it that were maybe not that successful, but still, just by listening to the people, getting their feedback and implementing some of it, once again, they took more ownership. You know, the person who came up with the idea, I mean, she is so excited about her job, because, you know, she can see how from ideation to implementation to execution and then keeping the company afloat because of one thought she had. I mean, brilliant, you know. So I think that's super, super powerful. And it just shows involving your employees. It's so powerful. And we as leaders need to take a step back. You know, if I'm too dominant evaluate every single idea, then people feel judged. And sometimes it's better when you as a leader actually step out, let the others, you know, come up and talk and then present together in a way. So that's it's a mutual discussion, rather than if you're the leader too dominant and control the entire discussion, people are sometimes reluctant to even share their thoughts. So I think that's something also, once again, going back to humility, don't take yourself too serious. Maybe even leave the brainstorming session or just participate as one of them and don't evaluate every idea from the beginning, so people don't feel as judged. And that can really go a long way.
And just the final question. What do you do personally when an emergency happens or maybe you get overwhelmed, something breaks, and you know, we're humans, right? So emotionally, your mind is getting into a negative place, right? How do you get yourself, like, do you have any mental hacks or something that you do to get back into a more calm and more productive mental state?
Yeah, I mean, it happens quite often. I get, you know, like everybody, very agitated. You get some guest complaint or something that really isn't maybe not even your fault completely. I mean, let's be honest, we have really some unreasonable requests or complaints or comments, and you know, it gets me really wired up. And I allow myself to vent and fume for up to 5 minutes, you know, because I think sometimes it has to get out. If you just bottle it up and suck it up, and we as leaders, we don't get angry, I don't know if that's correct. So I really allow myself to maybe even scream in my office, what the hell, and get it out. But then I really change the location. I go somewhere else. I speak to somebody else. Or, I don't know, I listen to a few minutes of a Formula One podcast to just get my mind into a different place. And then I come back with fresh eyes, and then I can reply in a more reasonable way. Because the worst is if you argue or you reply to an email in an elevated emotional state. Because we've all seen these emails, and they quickly escalate when you're then excited, right back. The other person is excited, and that doesn't really help anyone, right? So I think, you know, staying level-headed, get the emotions out. I think we're all humans, as you said. I mean, I think it's important, but don't carry it with you. I don't want to go to bed thinking about this and having these bad emotions in me. That would be a bad day for me. So I want to get it out. If I still have it at night, honestly, I might just go for a long walk with my dog outside or move my body a little bit. That usually helps me to switch off. Or once again, coming back to the cold shower, even at night, trust me, it will completely reset your system. 1 minute cold shower at night, you're not going to be angry anymore, because the only thing you think about is the pain of the cold water, and then naturally your mind is somewhere else. So I had last night, something was bothering me, and I did that, and I slept very peacefully at night. So that's something I definitely recommend you, not to keep these things inside of you, because that over time starts adding up, and you're not going to be positive and inspiring if you have these grudges and bad thoughts within you.
So listen, everybody. 1 minute of suffering will give you a good night's sleep. So, invest in yourself. So I thank you so much, Kai, being with us. Everybody who's been listening, I know that 95% of people now want to go and visit Grand Hotel Kempinski in Vilnius. And you wouldn't feel sorry about that when you get all this amazing service. But Kai, just to wrap up, where could people find you, get in touch with you if they want to follow? Sometimes you're sharing content. Where could people find you and be in touch?
Sure. I mean, the easiest will be probably on LinkedIn. If you're already watching, feel free to connect there. And then, as Soren mentioned, on Instagram, I'll try to do a better job of staying more consistent. But definitely, those two platforms are usually where I'm the most.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for listening once again. Let us know in the comments, what was the one thing that stuck with you? What's the one thing that you commit to do? All right. So many ideas, so much inspiration. What is the one thing that you commit to do based on the ideas from this podcast? And once again, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you ever listened to the podcast, you enjoyed it, make sure to subscribe. We'd really appreciate if you give us a rating. It helps us to reach more people. And with that, bring you even more and more exciting guests like Kai. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you for making it to the end of the episode. You are a peak performer. And I wish you a fantastic day. Let's keep performing. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to my monthly newsletter by visiting stoyanyankov.com and also learn about the Perform methodology and the Perform book, as well as our various personal and team coaching offers. Stay tuned and keep performing.